Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. Now Craig, we're seeing a general pullback again today. It seems to be the theme for this year, but even in terms of the commodities, something a bit different is that we are starting to see some, I think, fairly key technical breakdowns on some of the commodities that we don't talk all that much about. Copper, let's start there because copper dropped under $4, I believe it was yesterday or 2 days ago, and has continued to fall. As I'm looking at the copper chart right now, trading about $3.85. Still a healthy price for copper, but well off of that near $5 level that it was at not really that long ago. We can use copper as a barometer for the economy, which we all know the economy has slowed. Also, I think could also carry over to inflation, and generally a downturn in inflation could be coming. Who knows? This is all, again, looking ahead. But overall, Craig, let's start with copper. Your takeaway from the continued fade and weakness in copper.
Yeah, it's been an interesting 2 or 3 weeks. You're right. It's the lowest level now since, I think, the end of 2020. So that's a pretty significant breakdown below $4. And they don't call it Dr. Copper for nothing, right? Such an important industrial metal, kind of a measure of global economic health, the demand for it. That's why it's got that name. It was just maybe 3 weeks ago, Corey, that on my site, we focused on it because it had come down so sharply through April and into May, just as silver and other metals had. But then it bounced. And there was a, 48-hour period where it was back above its 200-day moving average at like 450-something. And it was like, okay, maybe this is it. You know, maybe copper is going to kind of lead the way out. And now it has just absolutely plunged. Silver hasn't kept up with it to the downside yet because maybe it didn't, you know, respond. You know, it didn't get anywhere near its 200-day moving average 3 weeks ago. But it, copper is telling you, and crude is down, and man, the grains are getting smoked, and the U.S. economy, and I guess really the global economy, because not only were the U.S. flash PMIs just terrible today, but so were the European ones. It sure looks like if we are not already in recession, we're definitely trending that direction. This could be a really bad year for global GDP, and I think that's what copper's telling you.
Since you even brought up silver too, silver still just hanging on from multi-year lows, a one low that was just made in early May down at 2042. Silver right now in the low 21 levels, not looking strong, but the silver stocks, judging by SIL, those are, again, almost breaking down to some multi-year lows. And even, I think more importantly, silver stocks, SIL, is below where they were pre-pandemic levels. This has just been tough across the board for silver stocks and doesn't look like it's getting any better. What do you think, Craig?
It's just a hated sector, Corey. It really, at the end of the day, why is everything going down? There's more sellers than buyers, right? And where are the buyers? I mean, the sector is hated. And that's where you get these. I don't think many of these mining companies are going out of business. Maybe their margins are getting squeezed a little bit by energy costs and the like. They're not going out of business. And so you get these periods, it seems, every couple of years where, I mean, it's just blood in the streets, head scratching valuations for some of these companies. And if you have the courage of, you know, the conviction, if you have, again, let's put it this way, if you have the conviction that long-term, fundamentally, is a pretty good sector, just, you know, where things are going economically, monetary policy, you know, the printers are going to have to come back on at some point. If long-term you can envision higher prices for gold and silver, then you look at some of these companies today and you just can't believe. I saw a guy I know out of the Netherlands that runs a precious metals and commodity fund. His name is Willem Middelkoop. I've known him for about a decade. And he posted a list yesterday to Twitter of, didn't show the names of the companies, but some of his core holdings and their PE ratios, which again, what an arcane thing that is, price to earnings, right? But nonetheless, I mean, PE ratios like 4, 5, and 6. And it's like, wow. But yet here we are. And you know, I would say, Corey, there's just to turn it back to silver and the shares, you know, there's a longstanding correlation that you and I have discussed before. For whatever reason, between silver and the GDX. It's HFT. It's an algo-driven thing because it doesn't really make any sense fundamentally, but it's plain as day. You can plot the two together over any time frame going back over the last 5 to 10 years even. And silver, as you said, is still above its lows from May. But even going back to the beginning of this year in the forecast I wrote back in January, coming out of last year, we were talking about if silver were to break down below 22 and stay below there, which is now it has for the last 5 weeks, that it would run the chance of dropping all the way down briefly below 20. And there's an old gap on the weekly chart down there at around 1975, something like that. That might correlate with, obviously, another down move in the shares. And if the GDX does break down and closes tomorrow below 29, it's going to be looking at 26. Again, you go back further on the GDX chart, you can see a lot of support at 26. Well, that's another 10% down. And that would correlate with silver briefly dropping below 20. So we'll see where this goes. I could get worse before it gets better. Then we all know that. But boy, some of these, you look at some of these prices, and it just leaves you scratching your head in terms of fundamentals.
It really does, especially for the gold stocks. When you look at gold, and gold is pretty much flat this year, right? But it just goes to show that when there is a bear market broadly for financial markets, gold stocks, they're still stocks and they can still sell off.
Right. No doubt about it. And we're in this kind of a period. It's not, this week has been okay for the overall stock market, but we're still in this period, you know, if it's got a bid, it seems to be getting sold. And in as you said, gold is up. I guess right now, as we speak, it's unchanged year to date. It began the year at 1829. But yet the shares, yeah, are just being decimated. Now, look, you know, again, I think the macro generalist looks at it and believes all the sell side investment house research, you know, that says, oh, no, the Fed is serious. They're going to 3.8% in Fed funds. And they just liquidate everything, trying to front run all of that. But I don't know about you, but I mean, I look at it with an eye of common sense, and I think there's no way they're going to 3.8% Fed fund. I mean, I just can't imagine. And the bond market has kind of sniffed that out this week. I mean, it was just a week ago, the 2-year note got to 340. Today it got to 290. 10-year note got to 349. And today it got down to like 301. So the bond market is figuring this out. This is just a very frustrating period, and man, as gold and silver and mining share investors, unfortunately, we're all too familiar with frustrating periods.
Yes, we are. In that last bull market, well, you can say it was around for about 5 years. Really didn't feel like it got going until kind of the tail end, which I guess is what happens in bull markets. There any relief coming for investors broadly, Craig, this summer in your eyes?
Well, I was just actually thinking about this a few minutes before you called, Corey, because I was, you know, I look at that, you know, I just got done laying out this idea of how, you know, why would silver only briefly go below 20? And why would the GDX go down and find support at 26? You know, if the Fed's just going to keep hiking rates, you know, and they're just going to bleed us to death over the next 6 months. And who knows, maybe they will. But I just had looked forward at the economic calendar, trying to figure out, okay, what could spark some relief? What might start giving us that hint of the Powell pivot, you know, and the machines coming back on, the printing machines and all that kind of stuff? Well, next week, first of all, we get things like durable goods, and there's also the latest PCE and core PCE, which is allegedly the Fed's favorite inflation indicator. Well, that'll be interesting next week to see how that's holding in there. Then as we turn the corner into July and the third quarter begins, you know, a lot of the economic data this month has been lousy, and we're all waiting for the next Atlanta Fed GDP Now update, which will probably show a negative, you know, contracting economy. And again, two contracting quarters in a row is the textbook definition of recession. And as we get into July, that first week of July, we'll get the next jobs report. Who knows, you know, what kind of those payrolls will be. Then the second week of July, we get into the next set of inflation data. And then late in July, we get the next FOMC. And so I just wonder if there isn't a kind of a possible stew of circumstances that we're not necessarily, you know, that we can't foresee necessarily at this point, that we might look back on by July as rationale for why things did actually bottom at around this time. We'll see. I mean, and that's a lot of speculation on my part. What else can we do?
Yeah, that is true. Other than hope, but hope only gets you so far in these markets. Craig, have you seen a bear market this bad, or how do you relate this bear market, this sell-off, to prior bear markets? Mostly focused for the resource investor, because that's what we're talking here.
You began this call, Corey, by asking me about copper and some of the other metals and that sort of thing. And the very first thing that came to mind, actually, is what I called on my site the great disinflation bias or deflation bias trade. And that was in 2014 when the dollar index went from 80 to 100. And that's a, you know, that's a 25% move over the course of about 9 months, and all of the commodities just got crushed. I mean, you talk about copper going down, crude broke down through, I think 90 or 80 had been the floor and plunged all the way down to 50 or 60. Everything just got, I mean, it was no fun. So that's kind of what this reminds me of. And that's not only from when you brought it up, but that's something we've been talking about on my site, because again, what's the dollar index gone from 90 to 105? Not the same percentage, but kind of a similar thing. And the commodities had hung in there so far. So maybe in a sense, commodities all kind of catch down together. That would be the risk at this point. I don't think it would be as bad as 2014, but to answer your question, that's what this kind of has the, you know, the makings of or the potential of.
It almost feels like we're just waiting for kind of that flash crash or some capitulation here, but that's going to be ugly across the board. So that could also help signify a bottom, but boy, oh boy, if we get that, look out below for all the other stocks, I'm sure, that we're all holding. Craig, we'll chat again next week, hopefully on a bit more optimistic tune, but again, we can't control the market. We can just talk about it and forecast, but oh boy, the forecasts continue to be kind of negative. Craig, thank you, as always, for your time, buddy. We'll chat next week.
You bet, Corey. Maybe we can come up with something more fun, like the Coraline NFL football report or something.
Ooh, I like that. We can start covering the new golf tour out there, too.
Right, exactly. Hang in there, my friend.
You too.